Good morning. Psalm 33, please. Just the first three verses. Are you well today? Sun is shining. God is so good to us. Amazing. Are we enjoying good health? What a gift. What a gift it is to have good health. And when we don't have it, well, what a gift it is that he will never leave us or forsake us. And what is he doing? What will he do in the midst of our, you know, time of weakness? He will be imparting something and then put a new song in our heart, even praise to our God. So just Psalm 33, shout for joy. I misread that. Shout for joy in the Lord, O ye righteous. Oh, I wonder who they would be. Certainly none here, right? No. We have come together here to be washed by the water of the Word. This is the place where we get cleaned up. And it's not by legalism. Is by the flowing water of the living word, right? Okay, so shout for joy in the Lord, O ye righteous. Praise befits the upright. It is fitting that the righteous should praise the Lord because he has been so good to us. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. You know, I think that's a 10. Is that the 10 string? No, that's, I'm not sure what that is. I've never had one. But it's in the Bible, and it must have sounded pretty good. Make melody to him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. That means a fresh song. You got a fresh song in your heart? It says sing a fresh song, not just the same old song. God's tired of the same old song. He wants a fresh song. So we can give him a fresh song, right? And it is a fresh song that is in accordance with our circumstance and something God is doing that has caused our heart to rejoice, and words bubble up from the inside and they come out and God says, I like that song. And your voice doesn't even have to be good because God looks at the heart. Amen. So play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. Now, this is in the Bible. It starts off with shout for joy, and the end of verse 3 says, play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. So you're probably saying, I hope he doesn't tell us to shout loud. But I could, maybe. I don't know. So loud shouts. Well, anyways, that's up to you. If you do it, I'll just say hallelujah. We can take a shout pause if you want. You want a shout pause? Hey, come on. Hallelujah. Woohoo. Yeah. Obey the Bible. Have a good time. Okay. So just thanksgiving to the Lord because, you know, sometimes I think, well, I really, maybe my 21 years of not being saved, I probably wasn't really so bad. You know what I mean? I don't know what you think about your life, but I've kind of had that, you know, reflection, but I do cast it down because I know it's a whopper of a lie. But, and then sometimes, I think as we age, sometimes my sins come back to me. I remember them, and I am horrified. I am horrified at my old life. I am horrified and broken when I think that one of those sins was enough to send me to hell forever. And you put them all together, and what does it look like? It looks like a man nailed to a cross, unrecognizable, torn open, swollen, bleeding, because of my sins, because of our sins. Sometimes we can think, well, you know, Jesus died on the cross because, well, after all, you know, I'm just irresistible. He had to die for me because, after all, you know, hey, look who I am. And sometimes the culture can present the cross like that. It is so wrong. It is so wrong. It's the me, me, me culture. This is how it really is. Why did Jesus have to suffer so inhumanely, be tortured in such an inhumane way, be scourged almost to death, so weak he couldn't carry the cross, nailed to the cross, suffocating in his own blood, and however horrible that was? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know what that is? Jesus on the cross in that condition was not my being, our being irresistible. It was the horror of the evil of our sins. That's what that was. So therefore, we have reason to shout for joy and make a loud praise before the Lord because Jesus took it all on our behalf. And he has put a new song in our heart. We have something to sing about, something to celebrate. And we have a gospel to share for which we are not ashamed. No, not at all. So glory be to God. And that's really all I want to say today. It's just so we're in for a wonderful message, awesome message, and let's close in prayer this part, Lord. We just thank you for Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He endured the cross. He despised the shame, hanging naked on the cross, despised the shame. But he said, this is the will of my Father, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to make a bride for myself. I'm going to redeem mankind. Whosoever should believe will be saved by grace. Thank you, Father. And Lord, we also pray your blessing on our offering to you. May you be glorified, and may this gospel continue to go forth all around the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, you may be seated. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 28, Proverbs 28, verse 1. You and I have been born of the Spirit of God. Pastor Hadley said, as a result of faith, we are justified, and God has sent his Spirit into us, so we have fellowship with God. That is one of our great honors that God has given to us, that we are indwelt by him. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Who is the he that is in the world? Satan. And he that is in the world, I would say Adam, the first Adam. There are two Adams in the Bible, the first one and the last one. Who's the last Adam? Christ. First Adam is the Adam that was in the Garden of Eden who sinned, and we all have his nature. Do we have a sin nature? Turn to your neighbor and say, I've noticed that you have a sin nature. Yes, I've seen it. Yes, I've seen it. A lively crowd here today, really. All right, now, regeneration is the theological term, Titus 3:5. for the new birth. You must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. What does it mean to be born again? It must be that Christ comes inside, that he's born in us, that the Spirit of God dwells in us, that Christ is in us, Colossians 1:28. We are sealed with the Spirit, Ephesians 1:13. We are regenerated, so we have two natures. We have my sin nature, and then we have the Christ nature in us. If you live in unbelief as a way of life, and if you just live naturally, undoubtedly most of your life will be dominated by your sin nature. But you're a Christian. Yes, I am a Christian. But are you living? Have you put on the Lord Jesus? Have you put off the old man? Are you living by faith? Faith in God's grace. Simple prayers are powerful. When you get up in the morning, you can be on your way to the bathroom to brush your teeth, and you can say the prayer. You can get on your knees when you jump out of bed, and you can just have a simple, Lord, I am putting on Christ today by faith. Fill me with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Get up off your knees and walk by faith. Will God answer us, Luke 11, verses 11 to 13, if you ask for bread, will he give you a stone? If you ask for the Spirit to fill you, will he not do it? He'll do it. He loves you. He is for you. So we have that nature. Today we're going to speak about that nature and what it is, that new nature and what it means. So the proverb is 28, verse 1. The wicked flee when no man pursues. Would you read that out loud? The wicked flee when no man pursues. He's afraid. He runs away. Nobody is running after him. He is fleeing when nobody is there. Why? Why does he run? Why? Why does he run? Why does he live in a state of insecurity or fear? Just turn to your neighbor and give the answer to your neighbor. You can't speak of both at the same time. Rotate. Okay, go ahead. Why? Why does he run? Okay. Pastor Steve had a good answer. He's haunted by the ghosts of his past. I have a little story. How many of you used to do prank phone calls? Let me think. Do you have Prince Albert in a can? Well, let him out. Yeah. Is your refrigerator running? How about this one? Here it is. I know everything. Yeah, the person hangs up immediately and leaves town. They leave town because they feel that somebody knows everything, and they flee. There's a couple of teenagers on the other side of town laughing about the joke, and the person's packing their bags. They're fleeing. When Adam sinned, he hid. He hid from God. He was running from God. I wonder how many people at the airport are running one way or another from God, fleeing. It's sad. So the next part of the verse is about you and me, but the righteous are bold as a lion. How do lions operate? They're in charge. They're nocturnal. I understand. They lie down and are calm during the day, but at night they're hunting and they do big circles and they're kind of in charge and they're very bold. They're not afraid. They're not afraid of anything. Are you like that? What does it mean when we are bold, confident, and have some authority? I met a man, he had a 500, he had a Camaro, a big muscle car, 500 horsepower. I talked to him on the street. I said, how much horsepower do you have in your car? He said, 500 horsepower. I go, wow, how do you drive? He go, I just cruise down 40 miles an hour going down the street. And that's nice for me. And I said, because you have authority. He said, that's a good word. I got authority. I don't use it. I'm not using it, but I got it. I got it. I got it if I need it. I got it. You and I are righteous because of Christ. We have authority in our life. We are bold. I want to give a couple examples. We have now turn to Ecclesiastes, please, chapter 8, verse 1. Who is as the wise man? I think wise men and women are such a treasure. There's so much needed in raising a family, running a church, operating a mission. Wisdom is powerful. Wisdom is a blessing to us. We have it. You have it. You have it. You have wisdom. God has given us his Son. Why a greater than Solomon is here? The wisdom of God. He is the only wise God. He is this. He speaks to us. The name of our ministry before we took this name, Greater Grace World Outreach, was The Bible Speaks. I like that name a lot because even my enemy has to say, The Bible Speaks. Now, I like it because it's true. The Bible speaks. It speaks to us. The Holy Spirit, your new nature is wise. Your new nature is confident, has authority. You have authority in your life. There's an interesting court case going on in Finland. The trial of Päivi Räsänen, maybe many of you know about it. It's globally, it's everywhere on the news. She is a medical doctor. She is a grandmother of 7 grandchildren, and she's on trial with Juhana Pohjola, Bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Mission Diocese of Finland. For the fact that they together had written a book and had said that that homosexuality was sinful, she is now being accused of hate speech and has turned into a theological trial of what Christian beliefs can and cannot be expressed in Finland. It is incredible this trial is happening in a modern European country and not in a religious theocracy. Räsänen, who was chairwoman of the Christian Democrats Party from 2004 to 2015, is an active member of the Finnish Lutheran Church, but she questioned her church's sponsorship of an LGBT pride event in 2019. She asked in a Twitter post how the sponsorship was compatible with the Bible, linking it to a photograph of a biblical passage, Romans 1:24 to 27, on Instagram. She also posted the text and image on Facebook. Very interesting that she's getting in trouble for this. Kind of makes you and me feel like, what is our future if there's a ruling against her and she goes to prison for 2 years? 62-year-old grandmother, medical doctor, parliamentarian, tweeting Romans 1:24 to 27 and going to jail because that's hate speech. You got to take that up with God. Amen. God said Romans 1:24 to 27. Yeah. And what that is, that it is sinful, that's sinful. So now we might be in trouble, but that's okay because we don't run. You know, we are not afraid. It's not our mindset to be afraid. Jesus said, fear not. In the Bible, it is 300. Richard Wurmbrand said it's 366 times in the Bible, fear not. One for each day of the year, including leap year. Fear not. Okay. So, read that verse, please. Chapter 8, verse 1. Who is a wise man and who knows the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom makes his face to shine. And if you've seen Päivi Räsänen on the news, you can see she's at peace. She has authority in her soul. She has confidence. She's world famous now, and in a sense, her face is shining, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard to the oath of God. Be not hasty to go out of his sight. Stand not in an evil thing. For he doeth whatsoever pleases him. Where the word of a king is, there is power, and who may say unto him, what doest thou? Whoso keepeth the commandments shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. Maybe we should discern time and judgment. Yes. Maybe in a marriage. We had a beautiful marriage get together this past weekend. We had Cedric and Kim Tanksley Friday night. They gave their story, raising four sons, and getting them to memorize the Bible verses. And Cedric said he gives $5 to his son if he will memorize a Bible verse. And then he said if it's a long, difficult passage, he'll give $20. Afterwards, I asked him if I could be part of that program. Wow, his son learning the Bible. He better memorize this verse, like the love of money is the root of all evil. Okay. So he said, when it was time to go to bed, and I asked my sons, do they have a verse to share with the family? And Jaden speaks. He said, tears come to my eyes. My sons are learning the Bible. Wow. That touched our hearts. It's amazing. The world needs people like you and I who have something to say in love, in humility, in truth by the Spirit, in our families, maybe at work. And now, in this particular court case, the case, I think the They rested. Now the judges are to make a decision in the next couple of weeks. It'll be interesting to see if this woman hate. If you look at her, you don't see that she hates. Is it hate speech? Yeah, what is it? She read the Bible, believes in the Bible, was saying to the leaders of the Lutheran Church that are encouraging LGBT, whatever it is, Q, or I don't know, the letters. I'm not making fun, I'm just saying, the leaders, like, come on. But my old sin nature doesn't know. Doesn't have a sense of time and judgment. Doesn't know the time and can't make a judgment. I'm afraid. I'm afraid of people cease from, God said in Isaiah 2:22, cease from men whose breath is in their nostrils. Meaning, they're very fragile. When their breath is gone, they're gone. And don't fear man. Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man is a snare. We can't fear our world. We cannot fear what is happening in our world. We cannot fear death. We cannot fear rejection. We cannot fear what will happen to us. Our world is too small if we live in fear. We have Christ in us, and we are learning him and growing in him. Now turn to Daniel, please, chapter 3. And in our home, in our garage, actually, we have a Finnish sauna, because when we lived in Finland, we got in the habit as a social thing to have discussion in the sauna, and brothers, we would gather and do it and go in a cold lake, even cut ice in the lake and go in the freezing water and roll in the snow and go back in the sauna. And so in our family, we put a sauna in where we live. And we have a pretty good size one. We had, we can have 8, 10, 11, 12. We packed it out with 18 people one time, just joking around, just packed in there. But it's a sweat box. It's where you get it real hot. I mean, even at burning your ears and real hot, not like in the local club, you know, where you don't do, you know, it's like, what's going on? But this is hot. I mean, it's really hot. We get it cranked up and we get sweaty and we can't even talk. Okay. But then we have it when we can. But in our sauna, we've said these words. King Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from this fiery furnace. But if he does not, we will not bow down and worship your gods. But if he does not, we will not bow down. If we are roasted to death, we will not bow down. But he's able to deliver us. Let's read it. It's chapter 3 and verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, because these three Jews, they were Jews. Wow, praise you, Lord. You put your spirit in these three guys, and Daniel wasn't in town, apparently. He's not in the picture here in this story, but his three colleagues are. They are serious Jews from Israel, but they now live in Babylon with pagan people. They're worshiping idols, but these three Jews are not worshiping idols. They are not. No, we don't worship idols. Come on, worship idols. Save your life. Worship idols. No, we're not worshiping idols. could care less about idols. They're nothing. Lies. I don't care about it. I don't believe. I'm not fighting you. I'm not worried about it. I'm not interested in that. I don't do that. Go ahead, have a drink. Have you ever had anybody, like, I don't drink, right? Have you ever had anybody on your case, they want it more than anything? Come on, take a drink, just a little bit. Come on, take a drink. Come on. No, thank you very much. You're very kind to offer. I appreciate it, but no, thank you. I don't drink. Oh, come on, just this one time. Come on, drink, come on. It's like, oh, wow. Like, this bothers you. Oh, wow, this is interesting. Explain this to me. Why are you all over me? Why is this a problem to you? What's your problem? What's your problem? You got a problem. What's your problem? I can't be free and make my own decision, and you're manipulating and pushing me? Let me tell you, you sit down and listen to me for a minute. I'm not drinking. You can take that and shove it. I don't have anything to do with it. Knock it off. Get away from me. I'm not into it. I'm not interested. You see, the wicked flee when nobody's pursuing. The righteous, I don't mean to be arrogant. I'm just saying I'm confident. I know what I'm doing, what I want to do with my money, what I want to do with my life, what I want to do with my free time, what I want to do with my family, what I want to do with my church, how I want to live my life. And if you got a problem with it, that's your problem. And if the state of Finland has a problem with this dear woman, like reading from the Bible, Romans 1:20, and calls it hate speech, then you got a problem with God. I don't got a problem. You got a problem with God, because God said it. This is a Bible trial. This is a Bible trial. This is a problem. Now, why am I saying it? I don't know. I just have been praying, Lord, don't help me not give a message that's not, you know, I don't care about this, and take it out of my heart if it's not something you want me to say. But I think it's worthwhile saying it. I do. I think it's something like, wake up, people. Wake up. Wake up. And by the way, we have a political process in our country where you choose your leaders. But if all the Christians in the world are sleeping, and you say, well, it's whatever God wills, and we're in the end times, and we can't change anything, then come on. We need you to make a vote. Walk away and give it to God, but participate in the process. All it takes for evil men to succeed is for good men to do nothing. Just good men do nothing, and who you wake up one day and you got a totally different situation, and that's because you didn't participate. And of course, God is sovereign. But I'm encouraging you. And another way of dealing with our country is evangelize. Evangelize. Win people to Christ. You save a soul from sin, a multitude of sins, and save a soul from death. James 5, verse 20. Share your faith with people, with your neighbors. Reach kids with the gospel. They are hungry. I believe that teenagers are looking. They are seriously looking. Is there anything going on? And if we're afraid and we cannot interact and connect with people, then come on, that can't be. We are loving and we are caring and we are interested in helping people. So let's go back to the story. Nebuchadnezzar is pretty worked up about it. Take a chill pill, Nebuchadnezzar. But no, he's worked up. They brought these men before the king. Verse 14, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, is it true? Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not you serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Oh, no, we don't. No, you're right, we don't. We don't worship them. No. There was stones and gold and wood and all that. No, we don't worship him. What? Verse 15. Now, if you be ready, that at what time I'll give you another chance, when you hear the music and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, but if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And boys, you are toast. You are done. And who will deliver you? Who is that God that will deliver you out of my hands? Well, there you go. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this matter." Wait a minute, translation. Now, we're not diplomatic about it. We're not trying to dance around it. We're going to answer directly to you. We're not careful about to say to you, "It will not happen. It will not happen. We are not bowing down." Now, I honestly think some of us as believers were not used to saying no to people. You know how people say, you know, like, "I don't accept that lifestyle," like as a Christian. "I don't accept that, this, you know, your life and so on. I don't accept it." "What? You offend me." "Oh, I offend you. Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess I do." "Yeah, it's your problem." "No, that's your problem. You are bad. You offend me." It's like, hey, listen, kids. You know what? Life got a lot of things in life that offends people. And listen, kids, this is the way it rolls. I'm not playing your game. And I'm not careful to answer you in this matter. I'm not being diplomatic. I'm not dancing around the issue. I'm not trying to get out of it. I do not care about it. I do not care about it. That's a beautiful thing. Why am I saying this? I don't know. Jesus was like this. Imagine Jesus Christ in this world dealing with us. And, you know, Jesus being tough. Jesus saying to the disciples, Jesus being tough with the Pharisees, "Come on, Lord God, that's so refreshing. Come on, God. You are God, and you want us to be like you. And you have convictions, and you are righteous, and you are true. You are kind and gracious and merciful and forgiving, but also you're the God of truth." And to say that homosexuality, a sick perversion of sexuality, and many other forms of these perverted things that are going on, that is written in the book of Jude, 2 Peter 2, Romans chapter 1, 1 Corinthians 6, 17, Leviticus 18, 22, it is clear. That's just the way that is, you know. So I'm almost finished, but go to the last part of the text, verse 17. "If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king." If it be so, God can do it. But if he does not, this is beautiful, but if he does not, Christians are being slaughtered around the world. They say more Christians are killed in this in 1 year. Just 11 in Nigeria just were murdered for being Christians. Our God is able to deliver us. But if he does not, we will not bow down and worship your idol. What an amazing word that is. Verse 17. But if it be so, our God whom we serve, he's able. Verse 18, but if not, be it known unto you, O king, we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up. Western civilization is rooted in Christianity. Christianity has a long history of people who are able to stand against bad government and say, "We are believers." They were slaughtered in Scotland, 1685, 1688, the Covenanters. There are civil wars in England. Europe is filled with the blood of people that died because they just simply weren't controlled. They weren't to be controlled by government. It were not to be controlled by our government. We are to put into place our leaders who are righteous. We are to vote for leaders that are righteous. We are to put into power the righteous. And whatever it is that we have, we have and we live with it. And if it's not good, then we are not compromising our faith. We are evangelizing. As many of you know, I used to live over in Eastern Europe and I was often going to the Soviet Union, preaching in underground churches. I met amazing saints of God. We lived in Eastern Europe for a number of years. We've been through it from the 70s through and have seen it happen and are very sensitive to what it means. People that are fully persuaded and enjoying righteousness. Again, not looking for a fight, but being able to stand with conviction in our hearts about what we believe and being able to say, this is what we believe. I was thinking, just rule against Päivi Räsänen and I'll be preaching quite often on that subject. No, I won't. But just go ahead, put her in jail. Put her in jail. Be great. Put her in jail. The world, in Hungary, 3,000 Hungarians went to the Finnish embassy to protest. There'll be people that'll be saying, what did you do? What did you do? That we cannot read the book of Romans chapter 1. I cannot do that publicly and believe it in my heart and say amen to God. You're saying I cannot do that? Come on, bring it on. Bring it on. Go ahead, bring it on. Go ahead, do it. Bring it on. You know, I believe in obeying the government, but there's another side to that. That's Romans 13. Jesus Christ was crucified by Pontius Pilate in the will of God. But he did not sin. He did not compromise righteousness. He did not sin. He could not condone sin. He could not embrace sin. He could not say amen to it. Now, he couldn't do it. It wasn't in his nature. And because of him, I think in many ways we stand tall and free. We are spiritually liberated, and we are free in righteousness, and we have authority in our hearts. We are not running. We are not afraid. We are righteous people. Righteous are as bold as a lion. They have an authority. And wicked people, they flee. Just stand. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. James chapter 4. Say, I don't accept it. That's wrong. That's ungodly. That is so wrong. I am so much against that. That is so wrong. It is so ungodly. Shame on you. You offend me. Yeah, you need it. Shame on you. Shame on you. That is a wicked, ungodly thing. So then we get in trouble, and that's how it'll roll. I hope you feel comfortable being in this room today. May God bless you and encourage you in the faith and pray for your pastor, because he might be losing his mind. No, he isn't. All right, so amen. Yeah, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we pray for the people that are struggling in this world with themselves, like all of us. All of us, we have had our struggles, and we're not we're not here to condemn people. We're here to serve and reach. We're here to love and manifest Christ in a troubled world. And basically, we're not making fun of anybody. We're all sinners. But we've been born again by God's grace. We've been filled with the Spirit, and we have found love. And we left the old path, the old ways of sinful living, and some haven't. But you have a future in Christ, and trust Him, and walk by faith in Him. Repent from your own way and live by faith in Him, and He will show you and give you this liberty deep in your heart. And this is where we want to live, Lord. And then anyone listening who's not sure, not a believer, we can have doubts, but you can make a decision in your heart and say, yes, Jesus, I don't have much faith. I have a mustard seed of faith, but I can move a mountain, you said. If I believe in you, you will save me. I put my trust in you. Forgive me. Come into my life. Save me. I pray. In Jesus' name. Anyone saying that prayer, just raise your hand. Say yes to Jesus. Anybody here? The auditorium, yes to Christ. Give you a chance to do that. Just raise your hand, anyone. Yes to Jesus, anybody. Father, we pray that there would be a wave of revival in our country and around the world, in Western Europe, a revival. We pray for the Finnish Christians. They would not be afraid or cower or back off, but have conviction. And we're on the same team. We have the same purpose. We have a testimony, and stir in the hearts of people to come to you. For we will die one day and face God and be judged before God, and who will stand without Christ. In that day, how would we ever be able to be? No, we will not be at that white throne judgment. We'll be at the Bema seat without condemnation, righteous and rejoicing before you. In Jesus' name, amen.